First of all, my name is Mahir. I'm a journalist and I'm here to interview Mr.
Babuna,
which is the presenter of Mr. Adnan Oktar. Maybe you get the same question always. How can a religious man or can be sit with the girls, which is not mahram? And sometimes they dance in front of him. And is that according to the Sharia of Islam? Is that acceptable by Islam?
Okay, welcome. My name is Oktar Babuna. I am a brain surgeon. And I do TV programs with Mr. Adnan Oktar also. And I represent Mr. Adnan Oktar, who is the author of 320 books in 73 languages, and 1,000 websites, and a TV channel, A9. So, when we look at the Quran, in Quran, God says, Allah says in the Quran is sufficient. We did not omit anything from the Quran, Allah says in the Quran. And there are many verses, Allah says, Muslims will be questioned only according to the Quran. Not anything else, only according to the Quran. So when we look at the harams and halals, which is lawful and which is unlawful, we have to look to the Quran, and only few unlawful things, harams, are mentioned in the Quran. For example, Allah says, don't eat pork. Eating pork is haram. Or Allah says, do not drink blood, or do not eat dead meat, or do not eat any animal's meat, for example, which is not sacrifice anything other than in the name of Allah. Only harams are mentioned. And beyond that, anything else is halal. Of course, we think with our intellect, of course. For example, eating stone is not mentioned in the Quran, but we don't eat stones, of course. Or there are some kinds of meat which is not useful for your health, you don't eat it.
Mr. Oktar is not like other religious people who avoid being in that situation. They always and maybe go further and say that is more, it's the most haram, maybe. I mean, it is not only acceptable in Islam, but it is haram and very haram, maybe.
Yeah. We have to look from the Quran what is haram first of all. If it's not mentioned in the Quran as haram, then it means it's halal, it's lawful. So at the times of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he definitely lived according to the Quran. Allah says, if you would deviate little bit, deviate from that, we will cut your the life vessel, the carotid artery. Allah says in the Quran, this is a threat even to our Prophet. From deviation from the Quran. So he lived according to the Quran. And many hadiths are sayings of the Prophet, everybody knows, were generated 250 years after the Prophet passed away. The Prophet definitely gave an order at the time he was living, do not write anything down. And he had the writings of the Sahaba burned, actually, at this time. Don't write the hadiths, he said. So, but of course, the only criteria, which hadiths are could be said by the Prophet, of course, he said, things that's very natural, many things actually. He was talking every day. And if it is compatible with the Quran, we can accept it. For example, if a hadith says, pray to Allah five times a day, and this is compatible with the Quran, of course we accept that. But any hadith which is not compatible with the Quran, we cannot accept that. Mm-hmm. I can give you some examples. There are some fabricated hadiths which were generated, which are not compatible with the Quran. For example, that are full of violence. Kill somebody who shaves and recites the Quran, and who shaves, kill him. But this is against the Quran. Allah says there is no compulsion in religion. Whoever wishes can believe, whoever wishes doesn't believe, Allah says. Or if a woman who fornicates, that are fabricated, as they say, stone her, kill her by stoning. But Allah, there is nothing about that in the Quran. This is against the Quran. We cannot accept that. Or there are hadiths, for example, which are accepted by the sects also. Who doesn't pray, kill him. Who doesn't fast, kill him. Who converts to religion, kill him, murtad. But this is against the Quran, we cannot accept that. So coming to the woman, when we look at the Quran, Allah never says it is unlawful to sit with the woman, but Allah says it is lawful. I can read you from the one verse. It is 24, chapter 24, 61. In one part of the verse, I can read you entire verse, but in one part Allah says, talking about Muslim men and women, there is nothing wrong in your eating together or eating separately. So Allah says, you can socialize with women, Muslim women. You can sit together, you can eat, you can do whatever you want.
So where is that idea came from, that Muslims should avoid being mixed with women, especially dancing women, especially not covered, all covered women?
Yeah. For this, anybody says, what you are doing is haram, but which they say, for example, if you dance, this is haram, or if the woman doesn't get covered entirely and cannot sit with men, it's haram. They have to show this in the Quran. Mr. Adnan Oktar requested many times, he explained in Arabic also, what it is, this is not definitely haram according to the Quran. But then he asked, anybody, any scholar, any Arabic speaking person, tell me which verse says what we are doing here is haram. But nobody could show any verse. Dance is not haram according to the Quran. Music is not haram. Science is not haram, of course. Allah says, in fact, study and do research and look at the creations, the evidence of the creation of Allah, which is an obligation. And music is not haram. And arts and aesthetics is not haram according to the Quran. But they made haram for some people, by some people, with fabricated hadiths, which were generated 250 years after the Prophet passed away, by the Hippocrates, of course. So when we look at the Quran, we don't see dancing is haram, or deep cut dresses, décolleté is haram, because the covering, the limitation for the covering, also given in the Quran. There are two verses. One verse is from Surah An-Nisa, and one verse from Al-Ahzab. In Nisa, if you look at the Arabic, they say head coverings, but there is nothing about that in Arabic words, in this verse. It is translated by cover your head, they say, and put these covering on your breast, chest. Mm-hmm. But when we look at the Arabic word doesn't say it's a headscarf. It says only a cover. Humurhinne is the Arabic word. You know Arabic better than I do. So put it on the chest, Allah says. Juyubhinne. Jaib is the pocket, and also breast. It has a meaning of breast also. For example, Allah says, Moses, put into your hand, in your jaib.
No, jaib.
And the jaib is, of course, breast, has a meaning also breast. So put your cover, humurihinna is the cover. It's not humurires. Humurires is head cover, but there is no rest word is coming out in this Arabic word, in this Arabic verse in the Quran. So put your cover on the chest, on the breast, and the genital organ must be covered also. Beyond that, it's up to the woman and up to the traditions. For example, in some areas of the city, you cannot go out with the bikini, of course, or with deep-cut dresses, with miniskirts. But in some societies, in some places, for example, if you go to Antalya in Turkey, right, at the sea, at the beach, there are women with swimsuits and the bikinis. Nobody says anything. But if you do the same thing in certain parts of Istanbul and certain parts of Anatolia, you cannot do that, of course, or you cannot go out like this in Saudi Arabia or in some countries. So you follow the traditions, but it's not haram, definitely not haram.
Okay, how about you believe we should apply the Sharia of Islam, the law of Quran?
Well, we live in...
maybe that is acceptable, or maybe appropriate for this time?
Okay. We live in a democratic country. I'm very happy with democracy is actually in the essence of Islam, because Allah says there is no compulsion in religion. Your religion is yours, my religion is mine. This is laicism, actually, democracy, and the freedom of thought and freedom of worship. So you have to equal distance to any religion or belief. So this is in the essence of Islam.
Allah said, ijtanibu. He didn't say haram. Haram.
Yeah.
He said, ijtanibu, which means do not be close of that. Do not be close of the place that people drink like alcohol.
Which verse is that? We have to give evidence from the Quran.
Yeah, of course. It calls وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الْجِنَّ.
Because Allah says, don't drink it. It's very clear. Mm-hmm. Don't drink. But if somebody is drinking next to me, I'm not responsible from that. Somebody might, it could be my neighbor. We could be in the same house, in the same building, even in the same room, but I'm not responsible from that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, somebody can have mushrikun, I'm not responsible from that. Somebody can have atheist, I'm not responsible from that.
Okay, you are not responsible, but you are not invited to do.
I'm not doing it.
I'm not sorry, you. I mean, for other Muslims, for the society, for the whole all people.
Yeah. When and also, according to different religions, if according to his belief, it might be halal for according to his belief, and he might drink because of that, and I cannot force him not to do it,
mm-hmm.
because he believes that is halal to him. If he believes for any act, if it's halal to him, and I cannot force him not to do it. Allah says, there is no compulsion in religion. That's haram. For example, if I see somebody who doesn't pray, nobody can force this person to pray.
But
this is haram.
Now it's different. There's a difference between do not force somebody to drink and you can drink. There is a big difference.
Of course.
Uh-huh. So, is the drinking alcohol is haram or halal?
It's haram. I would never drink. I mean, of course, and it's also.
But there is nothing. There is no in Quran. There is nothing mentioned that saying alcohol is haram. There is nothing.
Yeah.
Not such thing. Never. It's not existed in the Quran.
Okay. It's wine is mentioned. The hamr. The word hamr is wine, everybody knows that. But alcohol is very bad for the health also, and I don't drink it. I don't drink. I never drink wine, but I don't drink alcohol also because it's also very bad for the health. But even though it would be beneficial for your health, alcohol would be very, very good for your health. If Allah says, don't do it, I never do it because Allah says so. For example, fornication is haram, unlawful. Allah says, don't do it. I never do it. But if you marry, she's your wife,
mm-hmm.
and then Allah says, Allah allows you to do it, that's halal, and I do it. So whatever Allah says, if Allah says something, don't do it, I don't do it. Even though it could be very good for your health, doesn't matter. I don't do it because Allah says, don't do it. It's haram.
Okay.
And we also, Mr. Adnoktar, all of us believe in that. I mean, Mr. Adnoktar was, of course.
No, we don't talking about a specific person.
He doesn't even smoke. He says because smoking is also bad for your health. And if you smoke, that means you damage your health on purpose because you know it's bad for your health. And he says this might also be haram because damaging yourself is haram. And you do it by smoking also. So he never smokes also, and he recommends other people don't smoke, although it is not mentioned in the Quran.
Okay. How can you justify the good relations with the Israeli?
Yeah.
In the point of view of all Muslim, in their mind, that Israeli are the enemy. And on the other hand, we see you or Mr. Abdul Akhtar saying, no, that is not... Like that.
Yeah. In Israel, in the state of Israel, there are people living who are Jewish. And the Jews are regarded as people of the book according to the Quran. Christians also. Christians and Jews are people of the book. So Allah never tells us to hate these people or to damage them or to force them or attack them. It's haram. Everybody knows. It's unlawful. Anti-Semitism is against the Quran, actually. You cannot hate a race or any nation. Allah says they are created equally from men and one man and one from one woman. We created you as tribes and nations just to know each other. The superiority is according to the righteousness, of course. Taqwa, Allah says. Everybody knows that. So we cannot hate them just because of being Jew or being Israeli. Because there are Jewish people living in this country.
There's
yes.
nobody saying that we hate them for that. But they say they are invasion state, invaded Palestine. So they took a land which is not theirs. So they are force of invasion.
Yeah. Now, that's one way to look at it. And also another way, which is, I think, the proper way to look at it is also, there are children of Israel living in this land. And this right is given in the Quran. There are four verses. Allah says, I settle the children of Israel in the Holy Land. I can recite, actually. Can I?
Yeah.
Yeah. In one of them is chapter 5, Surah 5, verse number 20. Remember when Musa said to his people, I seek refuge in Allah from my curse Satan. My people, remember Allah's blessings to you when he appointed prophets among you and appointed kings for you and gave you what he had not given for anyone else in the world. My people, enter the Holy Land. Where's the Holy Land? Jerusalem and Israel, of course, which Allah has ordained for you. So children of Israel will be in the Holy Land because Allah says, my people, enter the Holy Land. In other words, remember when we said, go into this town and eat from it wherever you like freely. Enter the gate prostrating and say, leave us of your burdens. That town is Jerusalem. Another one, we settled the children of Israel in a beautiful dwelling place. That's also this area, this region. And also, we said to the tribe of Israel after that, inhabit the land. Which land is that? Of course, the same region. And when the promise of the hereafter comes, we will produce you as a motley crowd. So they will be there until the hereafter. Allah says that. So they have a right for the Jews to live in the Holy Land and in Israel.
Is that a right? Like a Muslim, maybe they're going to take another place and saying Allah tell us to take it. Like somebody going to say, like Istanbul is not for Muslims. Istanbul is the old city of Byzantia.
Of course, not this way. Jews have the right to live there, but also the Muslims and the Christians and unbelievers also in peace. So they have to exist there, and they will exist there. So, of course, we denounce anything bad from Israel, but there are good people living there also, so we can't discriminate. So there are bad people living in Turkey, good people living in Turkey. We cannot say entire Turkish nation is bad or entire Turkish nation is good. There are good people in America, bad people in America. So crime is always individual. If somebody is criminal, we cannot blame entire nation, entire country, entire neighborhood. We cannot do that. This is not just, of course, according to the Quran also.
Yeah.
So they have the right there, but you're right. Christians have the right to live there also. Muslims have the right.
That may be applied on all the states around the world, but not Israel, because I'm not saying that. I'm transferring the point of view. Saying that Israel is not a state, it is invasion. So they are occupation. It's not, they don't believe that Israel should come here because some of them, like, originally from Africa or originally from Russia. And they come here and took the land and make their state, and now they should leave.
Yeah. Well, when we look at the history, this can be applied to any country. Turks came from the Middle Asia, and then other people can say, Turks invaded our land and they have to leave Turkey. Or other people, for example, in another country, they say they invaded our land, that some other people were here. So, in that way, no country could exist. We are coming from Adam and Eve, Adam and Hawa, of course. Mm-hmm. And everybody is, there is no superiority and inferiority according to the race and other things. So what, coming to this this issue, actually, in Israel, I've been to Jerusalem many times, and there are Palestinian neighborhoods, actually, mm-hmm. Palestinians living in Jerusalem together with the Jews. They go to the same universities.
Arabs.
But they live in they go to the same university, like Hebrew University, Bar Ilan University, and Tel Aviv University. There are always Muslim students also. They live in peace. Mr. Adnan Oktar always defend this, everybody lives there together, but not to say, we have to, because some people said that, actually, some Muslims say that, Israel has to be eradicated, all the Jews have to be eradicated, no Jews should remain, and there are also fabricated hadiths about killing the Jews. This is not lawful according to the Quran. You cannot do that. You cannot say Israel or Jews doesn't have the right. They have the right. That the right is given in the Quran, together with Muslims, together with the Christians, together with the unbelievers, in equal rights.
Now, how we should countering the terrorism.
The what?
Terrorism.
Terrorism, okay.
Yeah, because we're living in the Middle East, which is somebody, a lot of people around the world classify this area as the most terrorist area in the world, or the most hot place.
There are political terrorism, there is religious terrorism, so-called religious. It's not according to the Quran, of course, but there is other bigotry, and radicalism has a foundation on the fabricated hadiths. So we have to look at the source of the radicalism. If you talk about the ISIS terrorism, the Al-Qaeda terrorism, Boko Haram terrorism, and of course, but there is also communist terrorism also. PKK, for example, is communist terrorism. And there are communist terrorist organizations in the world also. There are two sources of these terrorism. The first one, I would say, is Darwinism, definitely. I mean, which is being taught all over the world. That life originated by chance, according to Darwinism. And the species transformed to other species by chance, which is against the science, actually. There is no transitions between the species. Allah created, that is obvious, because even a single protein cannot emerge by chance. It is only can be produced by other proteins in a living cell. So a living cell must exist first, and then the proteins, that's creation by Allah. We see that living cell originates, emerges all of a sudden, 4.3 billion years ago, the cyanobacteria, and there are no transitional forms. So it is a kind of pagan religion, Darwinism. But if you put in the subconscious mind of the people, you have a fighting animal. You have to fight for survival. And if you are strong, you will survive. If you are weak, you will get eliminated. In order to survive, you have to be strong. By crushing the weak individuals, this inevitably leads to communism, fascism, and white capitalism. In fact, Hitler was a very Darwinist. Mao was Darwinist. Marx was Darwinist. Marx said the foundation of Marxism is on the on Darwinism. He said this is the basis. In one of his letters, he wrote to Engels. He said this is the basis in natural history for our view for Darwin's book. So he took this as dialectics in the nature, and then applied this so-called biology, but it's not science, of course, applied to natural sciences in the societies, in social sciences, I'm sorry, as dialectics of the history. So there are clashes among the classes. Mm-hmm. Darwin said there's clashes among the species, that is the force of evolution. He said there are clash and struggle among the classes. This is bourgeoisie, of course, the capitalist class, and then this communism,
maybe
military.
Can be understood, but in the new version of the of terrorism, somebody kill himself to kill others.
Okay.
Maybe the Darwinist or the economist, they don't kill themselves to kill others, but here we have something different. They think if they kill themselves and kill the others, maybe go to the heaven. And maybe they get rewarded by God.
Yeah, very good. Now, this Darwinist education have been in the entire Islamic world. So communism prevailed, actually. Palestine at the time of George Habash was Marxist. Libya, Gaddafi was a Marxist, a Ba'ath mentality. Saddam, the same thing. In Syria, Hafez Assad, as you know, Ba'ath party mentality is socialism and Marxism, of course. In Afghanistan, there was a communist revolution. So all over Islamic world, there was Darwinist teachings and also the fabricated hadiths. Now, I'm coming to the fabricated hadiths. There are, I told you, in Kutubu Sitta, where the most esteemed hadith books, thousands of hadiths which are full of violence, killing about somebody doesn't pray, murtads, converts to religion, and also about who doesn't fast, who fornicates, who shaves. So, and these are accepted by the sects. And ISIS, for example, ISIS and Al-Qaeda put these fabricated hadiths into practice. They say, Allah said that. I have to kill somebody who doesn't pray, they say. Or a woman who fornicates, Allah said that. But Allah never said that, because we know this is against the Quran, actually. So they learn this. Nobody is born fanatic. So they have been taught in the families, in schools. And Kutub-i Sitte is published in Turkey also, in Iraq also, in Pakistan also, in Egypt also. And they learn these fabricated hadiths full of violence, and they put it into practice. When they ask you, if you can ask an ISIS commander or an ISIS militant, why do you do that? He would show you evidence from the fabricated hadiths. I kill because Allah said so. But what needs to be done, we know this is the problem. What Mr. Adnan Oktar does is he's teaching from the Quran. So there is an education. If there is an education for violence, you educate these people so they don't go to violence, they go to the right way from the Quran with love and compassion. There is a war situation according to the Quran. It's called katala, kital. There is a jeht struggle in the Quran, and there is a physical war combat situation. Mm. But Allah says the permission to fight is given only if you are fought against. So if somebody is attacking you, endangering your life, this is also according to international law. Of course, you have the right to defend yourself. But Allah says also in the same verse, do not go beyond the limits, which means you cannot kill the innocent people, innocent civilians, entire neighborhood, entire city, entire nation. You cannot do that. So if we teach people with the Quran in the entire Islamic world, this problem can be solved. Otherwise, militarily, it can't be solved because smart bombs, state-of-art weapons, United States, I told you, was in Iraq and Afghanistan, destroyed Iraq, destroyed Afghanistan. Now the coalition forces and other countries in Syria, 4 million refugees in Turkey, all the cities were destroyed, and there is ISIS, Al-Qaeda is still there. Taliban is very powerful. United States was in Afghanistan, killed a couple of million people, spent trillions of dollars. Taliban is very powerful. There is Boko Haram. There are more than 40 different terrorist organizations. But without the education, you cannot correct it because military operations and bombings only generates more hatred. And it feed the terrorism actually with more militants. They gain more militants because they say we are being oppressed.
We mentioned earlier that...
That's the reason why Mr. Adnan Oktar has Islam Denounces Terrorism, a very good book about in many languages, world widely known. So he shows what is right from the Quran, why terrorism is against Islam. And also you talked about, about suicide. Allah says, do not kill yourselves. It's obviously haram. You cannot do it. There is no justification for suicide according to the Quran.
No.
No. You cannot kill. Allah says, do not kill yourselves.
Otherwise, there's a lot of Muslim who kill themselves and make or commit suicide bombers according to the Sharia, according to the maybe Quran.
Not the Quran, Hadiths, yes. Because they are being taught in this way. There are preachers who say you have to kill yourself.
But there is something like, إِنَ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَيَقْتُلُونَ وَيُقْتَلُونَ. Like Allah bought the from the Muslims their lives and their wives, children, and their folk maybe to fight. Even for kill or to be killed.
Yes, but if you are being attacked, you're right. You have to defend yourself. So there is Allah gives the permission for katala, but only in a war situation, if you are being attacked, because Allah says the permission to fight is given only if you are being fought against. So that's the only criteria. That at the time of the Prophet, they were under the oppression of the mushrikun, they were attacked, and then these verses were revealed, and the Muslims defended themselves because they were under the attack. So then, of course, katal and katala, you have the permission. But it is only a war situation for defense. But if you control the situation, but Allah gives the other options also for treaty, for siege, and for cutting their ways also in the same verses. You try these first. And this is very compatible with the international law also. But if it doesn't work, and they're still attacking you, it is very natural. I mean, if somebody is attacking me, and trying to kill myself, of course I would defend myself. But that doesn't mean I would go and kill his family, his neighbors, his neighborhood. I cannot do that.
It's good you mentioned the international law. Do you believe in conspiracy theory?
Conspiracy theory?
Yeah, conspiracy theory.
Depends. I mean, what do you mean by that? Can you be more specific?
I mean, Mr. Adnan Oktar believe in the Freemasonic. Freemasonry.
Yeah. Freemasonry exists.
He believes like they are the organization who behind all the problems in the world.
Well, he had a book about that. It's called Yahudilik ve Masonluk. It was very famous in Turkey, mm-hmm. and also in the entire Islamic world, actually. A couple of million copies were sold at that time. That was in 1986-87. He wrote this book. In that book, he criticized Freemasonry, which organizes the crime. Of course, there are believers and unbelievers in the Freemasonry, but he never criticized the believers of the Freemasonry. Actually, as an organization, it looks like they want the world peace. So, he's a Freemason. He's a master Freemason, actually, 33rd degree. In 7 countries, he was made a Grandmaster Freemason. So he can even open a lodge, 33rd degree. This is the highest degree. But he spreads his message of Islam into the Freemasonic lodges. Quran was placed in many Freemasonic lodges because of him, Mr. Adnan Oktar. So he talks to the Freemasons. There are very good people among the Freemasons. Very nice Christians, very nice Jews, and very good Muslims also in the Freemasonry. So you cannot say entire Freemasonry is bad, but of course you cannot even also say entire Freemasonry is good. There are good people, there are bad people. But good people, as a big organization, there are many politicians. I wouldn't name you. I know there are very high-level politicians in Iraq are Freemason. In Turkey, very high-level politicians are Freemason. In Israel, in the United States, in Syria, wherever you look, the highest levels are Freemasons. So this is a worldwide organization and very old. We have a Masonic lodge found recently in Turkey, actually, 12,000 years old. Perfect Masonic lodge. They had Masons had meetings there. So it is very, very old. It goes back to the Solomon's time, even before that. And entire human history, it looks like, existed. So if it could be used for world peace, for good purpose, it is something good. But it is used for a bad purpose, it is bad, of course. And Mr. Adnan Oktar is spreading the message of Islam.
The final question, maybe. What is the difference between Mr. Adnan Oktar and the other religious scholars or religious people, religious men? In Islam, why he is not like similar to them or doing the same things that others do?
Yeah, I know him since a very long time. I met him as I was a medical student, actually, and so I know he is very, very sincere. He loves Allah more than anything. He loves Allah more than anything, and he always says, and I know this, of course, as a first degree witness, because I'm with him most of the time since more than 20 years, that he is a follower of the Quran. Whatever Allah says in the Quran, he has a great fear of Allah. And he practiced this very precisely. And whatever Allah says, don't do it, he never does it, never. I never seen him going into the haram. But whatever Allah says, he does it. He struggles in the way of Allah. He's actually in the list of Al-Qaeda, assassination list, in the list of ISIS, Turkish police found in their apartments in the terrorist operations in Turkey, there's a list, assassination list is the top on the list of ISIS, Al-Qaeda and PKK. PKK is a communist terrorist organization, of course. But he doesn't have any fear. Many things happened to him in a struggle. He was put in a mental hospital for one sentence, he said, for political reasons. I am from Turkish nation, and from Islamic Ummah. For using this word Ummah, there was military constitution in 1980s because of Kenan Evren's coup that time. Military constitution, that was against the law. He was put in jail, in a cell. They don't put even the murderers for more than 15 days in a cell. He was put 9 months, and for 10 months, he was put in a mental hospital for saying this word. In the same case, the same prosecutor, he said he's guilty because of saying the sentence, put him in a mental hospital. The same prosecutor said, at the end of the case, there is nothing wrong with the sentence. He was released after 19 months, but he was put in mental hospital, and he was put in jail.
So that makes him close of brotherhood, Islamic brotherhood.
Well, there are major differences, actually. He invited, when they were governing in Egypt, mm-hmm. the Muslim Brotherhood, there was invited a spokesperson of the government and some other politicians from the government. His name was Dardari, actually. Maybe you know him. He was the spokesperson of the government. He came to his TV program, and in this TV program, everybody can watch the recordings, actually. That was before the coup. Mm-hmm. He said, you should be more modern, you should be work for Islamic Union, we should struggle for that, you should be loveful and compassionate against the Christians, against the Jews, and against other people, and you should treat the same way the covered woman and uncovered décolleté woman in Egypt. And what they were hesitant. Actually, they said he requested specifically Mr. Dardari in this TV program to speak about the Islamic Union. But he didn't speak. He didn't want that. He talked about the tourism between Egypt and Turkey. In 4 months, the coup happened. But he recommended be like whatever described in the Quran, same way, treating the same way, equally Christians, Jews, and Muslims, equally the modern woman.
I meant he's not a party or he's organization. Not. He's one person, and he has all of this culture, maybe. But we don't see a lot of followers. We don't see like in the other Islamic parties or Islamic organizations. He's one or two, three, four guys who believe or speak in the same time, in the same way he speak. Mm-hmm. That's why why we don't see a lot of followers, a lot of maybe other religious people speaking like him.
Yeah. In Quran, Allah says, Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, was one person and was an entire ummah. So the number of the followers in the Prophet's time, there were very few Sahaba at the very beginning. Numbers were 313. And we are core organization is about 300 people, actually. But this doesn't count. You can be one person, but if you are a sincere believer to Allah, what matters is what Allah thinks about you and to gain the great pleasure of Allah. That's the philosophy. I know he's a sincere follower. My philosophy also, because I believe in Quran also. What Allah says, it's not. Allah says the majority will be unbelievers, actually. But we struggle for Islamic morality to prevail the world. That's our goal. Because Allah says, struggle in the way of Allah until there is no more fitna, until the religion, entire religion, all of religion is of Allah. So until the Islamic morality prevails the world. That's our struggle. But we can accomplish that or not, that's up to Allah. But we believe this will happen because Allah will do it. But what matters is what Allah thinks about us. According to the followers, you said there are 100 million books downloaded from his 1,000 websites in a year. 100 million. 30 million books were sold all over the world in 73 languages. In his TV programs, in TV channel A9, every single moment, you can count the numbers in the internet. Mm-hmm. The satellite is, you cannot count, of course, but the internet you can count. Average is about 500,000. So there are people are following him. Why? I mean, 100 trillion book downloads is something. It's not a joke. I mean, it's not. I've been to many different countries, and everywhere they know him. I've been a speaker on behalf of him speaker in the United Nations, in Italian Senate, Israeli Knesset, and also in American Congress, American Senate. I've been speaker. In major universities in entire United States, United Kingdom, entire Europe, Israel, Malaysia, Indonesia, Muslim countries. I've been to TV programs and conferences in Russia mm-hmm. on behalf of Mr. Adnan Oktar. So he's worldly known, and his ideas are being accepted, actually, because I'll give powerful evidences. Saudi Arabia, King Salman's family, made a statement very recently. You may not know that. They said, approximately, we will switch to moderate Islam. Mm-hmm. So let's think about that, what they mean by moderate Islam. I mean, why they reject their hundreds and hundreds of years old background, and they said they switch another model. What is this model? This model is, I believe, is Quran. It's modernity in Quran, because they've been following entire hadiths full of violence. They, you know, do executions with the swords. They stone the woman there. They force the people to pray, to cover. Women cannot drive. Women are not free. But this is against the Quran, of course. But they said something very different. Why do you think is this happening? Which model are they taking as an example in the world? Which model is that? Mr. Adnan Oktar's model. This is the first time in 1,400 years, since the time of the Prophet, actually, somebody is only says Quran is sufficient, which Allah says, of course, in the Quran. This is not an interpretation. I read the same Quran. I definitely see with the verses that Allah says Quran is sufficient. This is no question about that. Not because of Mr. Adnan Oktar says. He's right. He's definitely right, because these are verses. There's a written Quran. And so this is the first time it's happening. There is modernity in the Quran, actually. Allah wants us, the Muslims, very high-quality people, highly educated, very knowledgeable, very compassionate and lawful, clean, nicely dressed. That was the model at the time of the Prophet, actually. This is, Mr. Adnan Oktar says, Sahabi Islam, companions Islam, because they were following the Quran. They were very modern of that time, of course, very nicely dressed, very lawful, very compassionate people. They were following the Quran, because the Prophet and the companion. But they were degeneration because they stayed away from the Quran. This, in other words, actually, Prophet Muhammad complains in the Quran. My ummah left the Quran, approximately, it says in one verse, as you said. Mm-hmm. That's the only complaint of the Prophet in the Quran, actually. My ummah left the Quran. So we should go back to Quran. We will bring the love. And there's a big Islamic union. There will be prosperity, modernity. The level of education will be very high. And there will be security and justice in the entire Islamic world and in the entire world. This is our hope, and we know this will happen because this is also a promise of Allah, Surah An-Nur 55, in many other verses. Allah will prevail His religion, Islam, in the entire world, and then there will be, women will be free, Christians will be free, Muslim will be free, everybody will be free, even the unbelievers, and there will be peace in the entire world. These days will come, inshallah. We pray for that. 5 or 10 years. Easily testable. In 5 years, inshallah, we will speak again.
Inshallah.
Inshallah.
Teşekkür ederim.
And we want peace, of course, in Iraq and Syria. Since you are Iraq, I want to add a couple of more sentences. We defend the unity of Iraq. We defend the unity of Syria. And we defend the unity of Iraq. And we want the war, the conflict, stop in Iraq. It's enough. I mean, how many years they have been suffering? You have been suffering. Yeah. You were there at the time of the war. Nobody benefits from the war except the Satan. Satan wants blood. That's correct. But Muslims, we have to stop the blood, inshallah. Intellectually, struggle with the Quran, evidences from the Quran, and stop this. Because otherwise, you mentioned also, sectarian wars is very, very, it's haram. You cannot kill your Muslim brother. If he kills you, he's a murderer. You kill him, you are a murderer. There's an endless torment for that, according to the Quran. But if they fight, Allah says, go and mediate among them. If another party still attacks this party, fight against them, Allah says. But we have to mediate them. And with intellectual struggle, we can solve these problems. But lest all Shiite, Sunni, they are all beautiful Muslims, bring together and live in peace, inshallah.
Inshallah.
That's our
Thank
goal.
You for all these words, lovely words and words, and for these explanations. And I hope maybe this time is not the last time I met you.
Well, it's our great pleasure and honor to have you. Inshallah, we will continue because Muslims have to ally to stop this. Good people have to come together. It's Allah's order, actually. If there are conflicts and corruption is happening, Muslims cannot be passive. It's haram. Muslims have to intervene intellectually and stop the war, and stop the bloodshed, and stop the corruption, the fitna. So Allah says that's the reason. Fight with them, struggle with them, until there is no more fitna in the world. So there should be no more fitna in North Pole, in Japan, in South Africa. That's our goal. Mm-hmm. That's how we will do it, Mr. Adnan Oktar and us, you and all the Muslims. Together, inshallah, there is no more fitna in the world.
Inshallah.
Inshallah.
Shukran jazeera. Shukran.
Jazakallah. MashaAllah. Thank you very much, brother.